Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is June 23rd, 2020. I hope you all are having a great week out there. It is still the beginning of the week, a bit of a rainy one here in mid-Michigan, as we are expected to see clouds in the sky throughout the day and the occasional rain shower or two. So I hope you guys stay dry. Hey, stay inside and listen to some current sports. Why don't you, right? We've got a great show in store for you all. A lot to get to on today's current sports. You know, even though there aren't any live sports taking place as of right now, it is still uncharacteristically busy, mostly because a lot of leagues out there are trying to figure out, okay, what can we do to possibly return? And when we do possibly return, how can we ensure that it is the safest environment possible? So there's a lot of conversations like that that are happening. And I'm going to touch upon what does the fall sports outlook look like? Because I know Michigan State fans out there are wondering, will we see Michigan State sports come this fall? What is the protocol when it comes to a possible coronavirus outbreak? There are so many questions out there lingering, and I'm going to bring to the forefront what kind of conversations are not only being had here in East Lansing, Michigan, but across the board in the world of college sports and beyond. I also want to touch upon the Detroit Pistons' new hire of Troy Weaver as their new general manager. And I'll tell you why I do like this hire, but why I'm a bit cautious as to some, I don't know, short-term success or even long-term success for the Detroit Pistons team. So I'll dive into that. And yes, more disturbing stories coming out of just our nation, period. Not in the world of sports, but in our nation, because this goes beyond sports. The Bubba Wallace noose story, so disturbing on a lot of different levels. We all know that in our nation right now, not only are we battling the virus that is the coronavirus, but we have been battling a virus for over 400 plus years here in these United States of America, a virus called racism. We've been battling that virus for a very, very long time. And after the killing of George Floyd at the hands of law enforcement, we have seen and continue to see protests take place, activism take place, and some very unsettling things also take place. And in the world of NASCAR, Bubba Wallace, who is an African-American driver in the world of NASCAR, which you don't see, period, because NASCAR is a predominantly white sport, Bubba Wallace found a noose in his garage. Now, that's very unnerving, right? But the way NASCAR has responded, I want to give NASCAR a big, big salute and a big shout out, because that is the kind of response that you have when something like this, racial injustice, takes place within your sport. It was a very touching moment yesterday, and I'll recap it all right? So a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the show, again, you can't call in. You know, we won't be able to do that until somehow, some way, I'll be able to sit down behind the mic back in Studio S. I still feel like I'm a long way from that. But until then, you can weigh in by leaving us a voice message at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I have yet to have one of you guys call in and leave a voicemail, because if you guys do, I'll roll that voice message in here on Current Sports. So that is a different way in which you can weigh in here on the show. You can also text us at that very same number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Text us there, and I'll read your text right here on our airwaves. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. You can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News, or you can just simply leave a comment or a message at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. All right, so a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. I just told you how to weigh in, so let's keep this train a-moving. You know what's next? Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, let's start here. The Michigan State Athletic Department released news that one athlete did indeed test positive for COVID-19 out of the 124 players tested last week. Now, that athlete, whose name will be kept under wraps, of course, will be isolated for 10 to 14 days. They already went into isolation after Monday's testing. Those who test negative among football, volleyball, men's and women's basketball teams have been retested as of yesterday. So there was an initial test that took place last week Monday. Then that second test took place yesterday. And if a second negative test happens, then okay, you can begin voluntary workouts. Now, Michigan State allowed student athletes back on campus officially on Sunday. No MSU staff members tested positive for COVID-19. One other athlete did not report to campus on Sunday after testing positive at home last week, bringing the number of known cases to 3 Spartans. The athlete is currently recuperating at home. The school made that announcement last week on Thursday. Now, Michigan State did not release which teams or which genders the 2 most recent cases are from. The first person who tested positive was a male athlete, which was revealed on a teleconference with Michigan State University doctors and athletic director Bill Beekman. That was the first week of June. All right, so, and again, this could have been a lot worse right? Because we all know that the coronavirus is highly contagious, which is why most, if not all of us right now, should be rocking our mask if we are going out and about in large gatherings. And, you know, it's just, there's just so much conversation, because if you just have one outbreak, you're putting at risk everyone around you. And in other schools, I mean, Michigan State, I mean, this is a slight case in comparison to other schools right now. I mean, I can bring up Texas, I can bring up LSU, where we have multiple athletes, double digits of coronavirus cases. So Michigan State should feel a bit fortunate right now. But I just, you know, and I'm going to comment on this later on the back end of the show. It's hard to have sports when you have the coronavirus lingering and looking at how highly contagious it is. Just so many what ifs right there. And that has forced the University of Michigan Dearborn to cancel fall sports. Yeah. University of Michigan Dearborn Athletic Director Matt Beaudry, he spoke with university leaders, state and local governments, and health professionals before Domenico Grasso, who is the school chancellor, announced Monday morning fall sports for the 2020-2021 academic year are now canceled, along with the suspension of practices for the foreseeable future. Now, Beaudry said the decision was made for health and safety reasons and had nothing to do with the university's financial situation. This is what Beaudry said, quote, rather a pause in what's offered in the fall and providing an opportunity to continue assessing the conditions, recovery, and response from the global pandemic to make a health-informed decision for the winter of 2021 semester. So, again, the University of Michigan Dearborn, we're not talking about a huge amount of sports here, but still, nonetheless, another example of how the coronavirus is having a direct impact on the future of college sports, the immediate future of college sports. And Novak Djokovic, who is the top-ranked men's tennis player in the world, well, he is now tested positive for the coronavirus after taking part in a tennis exhibition series that he organized in Serbia and Croatia. The top-ranked Serb is the fourth player to test positive for the coronavirus after first playing in Belgrade and then again last weekend in Croatia. His wife has also tested positive. Now, Djokovic has been criticized for organizing the tournament and bringing in players from other countries amid the pandemic. There were no social distancing measures observed at the matches in either country. Viktor Trokicki, Grigor Dimitrov, and Borna Korkic also all tested positive. So again, another example of how you need to be cautious. The sports world needs to be cautious. And yes, I remember that chatter surrounded around Djokovic when he decided to organize this tennis exhibition series. I mean, flying in other players from other parts of the world. And now Djokovic has tested positive along with those three other players. All right, Michigan football has snapped up four-star defensive end Quentin Somerville, who announced his commit Saturday on Twitter. The prospect from Saguaro High School in Scottsville, Arizona, is ranked as the number 150th overall player in the country in the 2021 class and is the fourth four-star defensive player to commit to Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines in the past 3 weeks. His Twitter announcement was a combination of emotional thanks to his family and his high school coach and teammates, accompanied by film clips and photos. It ends with Somerville tapping out, all hail to the victors, on a grand piano, which segues into the marching band version and then morphs into a rap. So, yeah, these young men are becoming more and more creative when it comes to their collegiate recruiting choices. So congratulations to Quentin Somerville, who will be rocking the maize and blue. All right, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the Detroit Pistons zeroed in on Oklahoma City Thunder 12-year front office vet Troy Weaver for the general manager job and signed him to a 4-year deal last week Thursday. Detroit tried to hire him back in 2018, but the Thunder didn't allow him to interview. Weaver becomes the 9th black general manager currently in the NBA. Yahoo Sports senior writer Vincent Goodwill called it, quote, no minor feat for the Pistons, end quote, to add him to the front office. And in just a moment, I'm going to comb through why you hear journalists like Vincent Goodwill and other personnel around the association praising this hire, why I believe it's a good hire, but why we also need to be cautious when discussing my beloved Detroit Pistons and some kind of immediate or even 3 to 5 year success. I'll dive into that in just a moment. Stay tuned. All right. The Major League Baseball situation. When will we see baseball on our televisions? Well, the MLB plans to hold a 60-game season that will begin around July 24th, but first needs players to sign off on a health and safety protocol and to pledge to arrive at home stadiums by July 1st to prepare for the season. That's what sources familiar with the situation told ESPN. Now, owners voted to implement a 60-game season on Monday, hours after the MLB Players Association rejected a 60-game proposal that would have included an expanded postseason and other ancillary salary bumps. Now, after nearly 3 months of fruitless negotiations, the MLB opted to use the right given to it in the party's March 26th agreement to impose a schedule of its desired length. By choosing a season of 60 games, the league will pack in about as many games as it can through September 27th, the league's self-imposed cutoff for the regular season. Additionally, the 60-game season could serve as a buffer against a grievance by the MLB Players Association, which, in the case of a potential implementation, has been expected to charge that the league did not fulfill its duty to complete as full a season as possible. Now, the league could file a grievance against the union as well, but that's what we're seeing right now. Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association going at it, not coming to some kind of common ground, and that is what is holding up and has held up the start of some kind of baseball season. All right, now to the NBA. Portland Trail Blazers forward Trevor Ariza is opting out of the NBA's resumption of the 2019-2020 season. That is according to the basketball front man that he is, Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Now, Trevor Ariza will reportedly spend the season's restart spending a one-month visitation with his son. He is, quote, involved in a custody case over his 12-year-old son, which involves a court-ordered one-month visitation. That's, again, according to Woj. The 34-year-old forward has started 21 games with Portland in 2019-2020, averaging 33.4 minutes and 11 points per game. Ariza has played for 9 teams across 16 seasons, winning the NBA Finals with the LA Lakers and Kobe Bean Bryant back in 09. All right, and two Liberty football players have entered the transfer portal citing racial insensitivity within the university's leadership. Cornerbacks Katriel Clark and Tavion Land announced on social media yesterday their decision to enter the portal after contemplating their futures at the school. In a statement, Clark said the decision was, quote, simply bigger than football or the program. He goes on to say, due to cultural incompetence within multiple levels of leadership, it does not line up with my code of ethics. So therefore, I had to do what I felt like was right in my heart, and I pray that you support me and pray for me as I find a new home to further my education and football career. I love that. Shout out to Catriel Clark and Tavion Land for standing up for what they believe is right or wrong and deciding to put themselves in a better situation. All right, folks, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. You can call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at this number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment or shoot us a message anywhere there. You can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, speaking of race relations within the sporting world, I am certainly going to weigh in on this whole Bubba Wallace situation, and I'm going to dive into why I believe the Detroit Pistons hire of Troy Weaver is a smart one, but why we need to pump the brakes on any kind of predicting any kind of immediate success with the red, white, and royal blue. That and more, you are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, what a scene it was yesterday, right? I mean, Bubba Wallace, first off, you know, before I talk about the scene, you know, as we have not shied away from here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are going through one incredibly enlightening period in our nation and really world's history right now. After that video went viral of that disgraced police officer named Derek Chauvin placing his knee on the neck of George Floyd, once the world saw that video, it awakened something deep in our nation's soul. Something deep that transformed a lot of minds out there. Opened up a lot of eyes out there. As it relates to racism and inequality in our nation. It did something. And for me, as an African American male, who has watched incidences like this many times, unfortunately, caught on camera, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Rodney King. This wasn't new, but just how in your face that video was for almost 9 minutes to watch a police officer place his knee on the neck of a black man, killing him, when it could have all been so simple. He could have just lifted up his knee. George Floyd could be living right now. It's just unsettling. It really is. But it woke our nation up. It woke our world up, and we are having conversations. We are having uncomfortable, needed conversations with our friends, our coworkers, with people on social media. But you know what? There are some people who will never understand, or will never even try to understand, because they have this deep embedded hate. For a community of people that don't look like them. And again, the word for that is called racism. Simple as that. It is alive and well here in 2020. So when I read the headline that despite the progress that we seem to be making right now in our nation, it's been very cool to watch these protests and to see that it's not just my fellow black people out there on the front lines, but there are white people. There are Latinos. There are those of Asian descent. I mean, it's a melting pot when you look at these protests. It's not just us out there. Despite that, as I stated, there are still people who will never understand and will die with that hate in their hearts. Example? Well, whoever was the heartless soul who decided to put a noose in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace, who is the only black driver at the sport's highest level. Bubba is the only brother holding it down in NASCAR. So, he's already, and I'm sure Bubba Wallace has stories. I mean, and I'm just like Tiger Woods. I mean, when you are like the only brother or the only black person, period, in an environment, especially your place of work, and don't even get me started on a professional sporting level, trying to break barriers or you're breaking barriers. I mean, the anxiety that comes with that, the pressure that comes with that, the eyes that are on you. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, I felt uncomfortable being the only black guy in my college classes, let alone being the only black guy in NASCAR, or for Tiger being, you know, one of the only black guys in the sport of golf. I mean, these are historically white sports. That's what makes these athletes so groundbreaking, along with their amazing talent. That's why we praise Jackie Robinson, who is like the poster boy athlete for shattering the color barrier in professional sports. So you're already dealing with that anxiety, and now at such a groundbreaking time in our nation's history, you find a noose in your garage stall. Angers you. I immediately got angry, but I said, look, it's NASCAR. I'm not a NASCAR fan. I've never really understood left turn after left turn after left turn and how people are just so, how some people out there are so diehard. I mean, I had an intern a few years back who just loved NASCAR. I don't get it. But again, it's not a cultural thing within the black community. You know, my uncles and my pops, my stepfather, I mean, we just don't watch NASCAR. The sport has never opened up its arms to us as a black community. I mean, heck, it took the killing of George Floyd going viral and protest everywhere for NASCAR to finally say, you know what? The Confederate flag should probably be banned at our events. So it's NASCAR, which is why Bubba Wallace accomplishing what he has accomplished, becoming a driver on the NASCAR circuit, the highest level within the sport of racing. That's why it's so remarkable. But to find a noose in 2020. But you know what? Gotta say this. The response from NASCAR was amazing. Absolutely amazing. That scene that went viral as NASCAR drivers and crews joined together to push Bubba Wallace's car to the front of the grid at Talladega. That was one of my favorite moments in sports history. I've never seen a scene like that. I mean, you even had Richard Petty, who is 82 years old, who was at the track for the first time since the coronavirus outbreak. He was there to support Bubba Wallace. And then you saw Bubba Wallace after, you know, his car is pushed. You know, he unbuckles himself. He's overtaken with emotion, good emotion, joy that I'm sure, you know, NASCAR has his back in this outpouring of support. You know, he's sitting there very emotional as he hangs out the window just above the door. And then he takes that selfie with all of the NASCAR drivers and crew in the back of him. That was unreal. NASCAR making it clear who it stands with and who it does not. That's what it's all about. And shout out to other drivers as well, because I'm not sure which driver organized this, but I want to say like a couple of weeks ago, there was a video put together, and this was driver driven. There was a video put together by NASCAR drivers supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. Boy, I never thought I'd see today when the sport of NASCAR would embrace the Black Lives Matter movement. It gives me chills just thinking about it. Amazing stuff. But also a reminder that racism is so alive and well. It really is. Wallace said, quote, I'm proud to stand where I'm at. The sport is changing. The deal that happened on Saturday, I wanted to show whoever it was, you are not going to take away my smile. I am going to keep on going. And you know why also that moment is so pivotal? For Bubba to respond the way he did and to say that is because somewhere there is some young black kid who was watching Bubba Wallace and who just got inspired to maybe give the sport a try. To get behind the wheel and fuel. You just maybe fueled a young black kid's fascination with the sport of racing to help make that sport more diverse years down the road. Bubba Wallace, you have no idea the impact that you're having on so many young kids right now, young black kids right now. And that response, that was beautiful, man. And there's a lesson that we can all take, no matter who comes against you, for whatever reason. Because, look, there are so many haters in this world. There are so many people that are so quick to talk down on your name, to try and ruin your reputation. Don't let those people take away your smile. Don't let those people bring rain to your sunshine. Don't allow them to live rent-free in your mind. That is prime real estate. We can all learn from Bubba Wallace. And brother, we're right behind you, man. Okay, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I'm going to dive into the new general manager hire of Troy Weaver from my beloved Detroit Pistons. That and more, you are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We'll take you home by talking a little bit of the NBA here. And I do want to touch upon the hire of Troy Weaver. First off, though, you know, I've been getting this question a lot. You know, Al, where do you stand on the NBA season getting back up? You know, starting back up. I know you're an NBA guy. What are your thoughts? And look, you know, I have to be completely honest here, man. And I've said this before. I'm not breaking news when I say this. I've gone on other radio shows, actually here in the radio, here in the area, excuse me, and said this. And for me, as much as I love the NBA, I wouldn't be devastated if the season did not resume this year. I just wouldn't. I think there are way too many bad scenarios that could play out if the NBA year was to resume. Even if you take all the precautions necessary and you put these players in a bubble down in Orlando at Disney World, all it takes is one case, man. All it takes is one outbreak and you have a bad situation on your hands. I don't feel comfortable. Look, in me, in just in my own personal life, man, I don't feel comfortable traveling right now. You know, anytime I have to get in my car and go somewhere where there's going to be a group of people, like the grocery store where I have to go. You know, I was there yesterday. There's a part of me that's like, all right, I'm a little bit nervous here. Let me make sure I'm staying away from people. And, you know, what frightened me when I saw other states opening up, you know, I stated numerous times that I hope it's not too soon. I understand our economy is in a bad spot right now, but is it too early? It's not like the coronavirus just upped and just walked out the door. It's still out there lingering. And then we had the protests, and you see people out there not social distancing. And that's a whole other conversation because, yeah, it's like, look, we're fed up and we got to protest, man. We're fighting for our rights as Americans, and we want to let it be known that you're not just going to push us around. So, I get that. But, gosh, man. There's so many unknowns, and now we're seeing our country grapple with spiking numbers from the pandemic, which has already claimed the lives of over 120,000 people here in the United States. And then the state where the NBA is thinking about resuming the season, as I mentioned, in Orlando, Florida, at Disney World. I mean, Florida right now, a lot of people are worried that Florida may become the new epicenter of the pandemic because Florida opened early. And look, I got to be, I'm a thousand with you guys here on Current Sports. My sister, who is down there from New York, you know, my sister is, you know, she's a social butterfly. And, you know, I told you, you know, she was in New York and, you know, her job laid her off because of the pandemic. You know, she was working at a restaurant. So she went down to Florida to quarantine with my mother, my stepfather, my other little sister, and my grandmother's also down there. So my sister gets restless, and her friend from Michigan flies in Florida, and they go out just hanging out and, you know, going to bars and hanging out at the beach. And I'm sitting there watching this on Instagram saying, what in the world? And you guys should have seen some of the images that was on her social media profile. I mean, people not social distancing at all. There is not one mask in sight. It's just like the coronavirus doesn't exist anymore. Everybody's at the bar and dancing and partying and everybody's shoulder to shoulder. And I'm sitting there saying, oh my gosh. It's stuff like that why Florida is seeing these crazy numbers now. But we as a society, we can't get on the same page with this. And NBA players out there are a bit weary. I totally get it. Now, what I'm going to do tomorrow is dive into, you know, why other players out there, you know, coronavirus aside, why there are players like Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving saying, well, the reason why we shouldn't resume the NBA year is because this will distract from the progress that we're trying to make when it comes to race relations here in our country. It will distract from the movement that we're seeing. I'm going to comment on that tomorrow when it comes to that reasoning. And then Kyrie Irving even saying that, look, man, we should form our own league. I'm going to dive into that because you may be surprised what I have to say when it comes to that take. So there's a lot going on in the NBA right now. As it pertains to my Detroit Pistons here, the hire of Troy Weaver, which was announced last week as the new general manager of the team. And, oh, hold on. Wow, I don't even know if I'll be able to get to this now. I got to pass along some news to you guys. As of this morning, I'm just now seeing it, but the Detroit Lions now have a new principal owner, but is not changing hands, it seems. Sheila Ford Hamp. Sheila Ford Hamp will replace her mother, who is Martha Firestone Ford, as the Lions owner and chairman effective immediately. So Martha Firestone Ford is no longer the Detroit Lions owner and chairman. It is her daughter, Sheila Ford Hamp. This is what Ford Hamp said in a statement released by the team just a few moments ago. Just a few moments ago. Wow, this is breaking news. I probably won't get to Troy Weaver, but hey, that's what happens when you're talking about, you know, radio. quote, "My mother has inspired all of us since taking on leadership of the Lions over 6 years ago. She has been a tireless leader to our family, our team, and our community. Her smart decisions have given me a solid foundation to take the team forward. On behalf of the family and the team, I want to thank her for her countless contributions. I look forward to leading the Lions to excellence on and off the field." So again, that comes via a statement from the organization. Ford Hamp, she has really been a fixture in the organization, attending home and road games, taking part in key organizational decisions since her mother took controlling interest in the team after William Clay Ford's death in March of 2014. Also, she was appointed to the NFL Super Bowl and Major Events Advisory Committee last spring, and in what was thought to be her first semi-public show of power, met with a small group of reporters along with her mother and team president Rod Wood last December when the organization announced its decision to bring head coach Matt Patricia and GM Bob Quinn back for a third season together this fall. So I'm sure those who cover the team, they know about Sheila Ford Hamp. This is interesting, though. I need some time to process this. And look, I was here already to give you my thoughts on Troy Weaver as the new Detroit Pistons general manager. Oh, boy, I tell you, news just breaks sometime. All right, well, I'll get to that tomorrow, but I had to pass it along to you guys, all right? Well, I hope you enjoyed this Tuesday edition of the show. We'll be back at it on the Hump Day edition Wednesday. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. I want you all to continue to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.